WQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want you to get your Bibles and stand on your feet. Father, our God, in Jesus' wonderful name, we say thank you now. Thank you for the word. God, now as we open the word, we pray that the Holy Spirit will open up our understanding. Give us illumination as we walk through your word today. Lord, let us not be caught up on feelings, but on facts. Let us know, God, that you say what you mean and you mean what you say. And as we look through your word today, you'll speak to our hearts. We'll be ever so careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Turn your Bibles to St. Matthew chapter 28. I want to begin reading at verse 11. Matthew chapter 28, verse 11 begins. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, their plans changed, but God's didn't. Their plans changed, but God's didn't. Just for you to understand that, there may be some Bible readers who know the story, but others who may not. I want you to back up, if you will, to the 27th chapter of Matthew, verse 62. Now, this is after Jesus has been crucified. And he had prophesied that he would remain dead for 3 days, and afterwards he would get up out of the grave. The temple would be destroyed, but in 3 days it would be rebuilt. And the conviction of his confession was so powerful that some of the mean and cruel and evil men began to become disturbed in their spirit with every passing moment after he gave up the ghost. Verse 62 says, now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day. Listen, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last era, listen, shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch or guards. Listen, go your way. Make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Now you got to understand the situation with Pilate here. Pilate has already interviewed Jesus. He sentenced an innocent man to death, and he's upset with himself. Here these folk come back again now because they're scared, and folk will set you up, and even when they do that, they've still got to deal with the spiritual connotations connected with all of the stuff that goes on behind the scene. They have gotten disturbed now, and they already plotted and planned in their mind what was going to happen. But you've got to know that they really weren't worried about the disciples. Those boys didn't even hang around for the crucifixion. Only John was there at the crucifixion. The rest of them were nowhere in sight. They weren't really worried about his disciples. What they were really worried about was that they had killed an innocent man. But beyond this being an innocent man, they were guilty of killing the Son of God. Now killing, not in the sense of killing as they thought, because Jesus literally, after he had done all that they could do, he laid his life down. They did not take it from him, but in their eyes, they thought they killed him, but he released his spirit unto God. So let's keep it in perspective. And so yet they know now they have done this wrong thing, this damnable thing in God's sight. And so as they get to this point now, the day comes after that they're disturbed that, what if what he said is true? What if he really does get up? Because they started looking. Now, they've been around. They've experienced his ministry for 3.5 years. The resurrection power that they themselves experienced and heard about was already demonstrated in Jesus Christ in several instances in his earthly ministry. You see, what they didn't think about and what they didn't understand when they did what they did, because sometime when you've got your focus on one thing, you will kick out everything else that comes against what you plan to do. When your focus is made up, when your mind is made up, and when you're looking with tunnel vision, it doesn't matter all of the other information or data that comes into the point for you to process. When you got your mind made up, how many of you know you kick out anything that comes against what you really want to do? How many times when you've had your mind made up to do wrong? And you don't care how many folk have told you, have said to you, and on top of that, that you already knew that it was wrong. When your mind was made up, you say, I know it's wrong. Yeah. Lord, y'all won't act all holier than thou this morning. But when your mind is made up, you ain't gonna let good information, good counsel, or anything else change your focus when you wanna do what you wanna do. Then after you've done what you wanna do, how many of you then feel better? I know I shouldn't have done that. You get all guilty and convicted in your spirit. Well, this is what happened to them now, because they know this man was an innocent man, a good man, a moral man, but more than that, this was the Son of God because of his works and his words. And now his words are haunting them. And so now they have gone to Pilate, who's upset with himself because he let the populace opinion. He let what other folks said. He let the crowds coerce him and make him make a decision he really didn't want to make. And I got to say a word about that. My brothers and sisters, when you have to make a decision that you are accountable for, you might want to think another time when other folk want you to do something that's not in your heart to do. Because here's what you've got to know. No matter how big the crowds are, and no matter how much they want you to do, if it's against what God says, you're going to have to deal with God. And you would better rather deal with God in the right way than to have to deal with him in a wrong way because of decisions you made because of other folks. And then on top of this, it's bad enough. I've decided this in my own heart and mind. I got enough to answer to God for that I wanted to do, than to get a whipping for something I didn't want to do because you wanted me to do it. Y'all gonna get that sooner or later. I've decided if I'm gonna get any more trouble from God, it's gonna be because of him and me. It ain't gonna be because of you. I just made up my mind. If I'm gonna get a whipping, it's gonna be because of me. And I don't want to get no more whippings from the Lord. So This is a conviction that these men did not have until after the situation was over. Look again, because I want you to see. They go to Pilate. Pilate is upset. Pilate is upset because he should not have done what he did. Now they try to get him to do something later that disturbs Pilate. Then look, verse 63 says, saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver, they call Jesus a deceiver. Look at the pot calling the kettle black. While he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Listen, command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, you have guards. Go your way and make it as sure as you can. So they went because Pilate wouldn't give them no more help. He had already done enough damage. And so listen to what he says. The Bible says, and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. So this is what they did. They rolled the big stone in front of the grave, and then they took a cord and clay and placed the cord around the tomb on the stone, and when the clay dried, it made what was called a seal. And so it was the seal, just like when you have packages, you can tell if the package has been tampered with after packaging, if what happens to the seal. If the seal is broken. So here they wanted to make sure that Jesus did not get up out of that grave. So they rolled the stone. They put the little putty or the clay. They stick the cord around there. They seal it all nice and good so that nobody can see, or everybody can see that the stone is there and sealed and secure, and nobody can mess with it. Nobody can go in, and they didn't want the one who was in to come out. Now on top of that, they put four guards on the watch, and they stood there all night long every day, but mostly for the purpose of the third day experience. And when they did this, they had four guards for 3 hours. They changed guards afresh so that each guard had 3 hours of the four, had each hour to stay there and watching guard so that nobody would come and get him. Now let me tell you what their real problem was. Their real problem really wasn't nobody going in. That really wasn't their real problem. Because if they really were worried about folk, listen to this, going in, don't you think they would have put more than four guards there? Now, he had 11 living disciples. It was only four of them. If they were really worried about his disciples, and listen at this, the Pharisees knew that he had more than 11 disciples on planet Earth. He literally had hundreds of disciples as he walked through his ministry and brought them into the calling of his ministry. And John records that there were many disciples who were with him that turned and walked no more with him after he said, you eat my flesh and drink my blood, and if you do not, you have no part with me. So they knew he had more than just those 11 living disciples, but the problem really wasn't with who was going in the grave that bothered them. It was really about him coming out of that grave. Now look at what they say, because when they made the seal sure, the watch sure, they had already purposed in their mind, this is our plan. Now let me tell you what folk don't do. Most folk that I know who's in their right mind don't plan to fail. They fail the plan. See, they didn't have a plan B or C. Now, here it is. It would appear as if they were prepared, but in actuality, they really weren't prepared, because they were prepared for falsehood, but they really weren't prepared for truth. They were prepared for deception, but the problem was they were deceiving themselves. They had plans made up, but they didn't realize that their plans were subject to God's plan. And I got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, whenever you make your plans, you need to know God is the only one who can rearrange your plans. Your plans must be subject to God's plans, because if your plans are not subject to God's plan, I don't care what your plans are, God can change them when he gets ready. Matter of fact, you can plan to go somewhere and plan to go and join an activity, a situation, or whatever, and if you hadn't consulted with God and God decided to change your plan, he can still let what you plan to go on roll on, just take you out of it. I mean, you heard the saying, one monkey don't stop the show, don't you? Well, I want to just revise that, unless it's the right monkey. Y'all catch that on your way going home. Now, listen at this, because I just want to read again for those of you who are not as well read in the Word. Verse 1 of chapter 28 says, in the end of the Sabbath, As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came down and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now, the word says, his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers, that's the four guards, did shake and became as dead men. They started shaking first. And then they fell down prostrate on the ground and stayed there, too afraid to look up, until later you're going to find out when they didn't see the angel, they got up and took out running. All that's in the text. Now look at what the Bible says, and verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is what?
Not here.
Not here. Why? For he is risen, as he said. Now listen at this. Now his plans have not changed. I want you to see this now. Listen, the Bible says, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Verse 8 says, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Now they had this wonderful experience of worshiping the risen Savior. And they bowed down and they grabbed him by the feet and they worshiped him, which was a sign of great homage and obedience and love and respect, reverence and honor. And they worshiped him at his feet. I just want to throw out parenthetically, when you sincerely and truly worship, you don't stand there with your hands up in the air. You don't stand erect and you don't stand up to him. When you truly worship him, when you come into his presence, the awe of his presence causes you to be filled with humility, and you bow down and you humble yourself before an awesome God. Real worship. And over in the Eastern country, you will find folk who worship the Lord in a bowed position. That's real, true worship. So next time you say you're worshiping the Lord, just make sure that you're saying it's in the spirit when you're standing straight up. That's like some of the older brothers used to pray. They don't do that here, but they used to do it at some church, standing up at the altar, say, Lord, here I come, body bent, knee bow and body bent, standing straight up at the pool, standing at the mic. Well, now that sounds good to the ear, but that is incorrect. You're talking stuff you heard. You're not being real with God. God don't need all of that stuff that sounds good. He wants you to be sincere when you talk to him, come into his presence. So listen again, because I want you to see this. The Bible says again, verse 10, then said unto Jesus, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Verse 11 says, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch, these are the guards, came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. Now can't you see those boys? Now they've gotten up, they've run to the city, they've gone to the chief priests, they've gone to the elders and all of those, and they told them. Now verse 12 says, and when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, lie, make up. Let me give you the script that you need to tell folk. His disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Now the question is, what's wrong with that picture? You see, here were their plans, that Jesus wouldn't get up out of the grave, and they were going to make sure that if he did get up out of the grave, if he did rise from the dead, that they would kill him and cause him to go back into the grave. It was their plan that Jesus never came out
of that sealed tomb. Their plan was that he would remain there. Now, they weren't going to keep this watch continuously. They just wanted to make sure that after the third day had come and gone, that the tomb was still sealed. And it didn't matter if he got up on the fourth day or the fifth day or the next, you know, day after that. What they wanted to make sure was that after 3 days he didn't get up, because it would have made not only him alive, but all of the prophets who spoke about him alive, which would have brought past the truth that he really wasn't the Son of God, because the real Son of God would have gotten up out of the grave. They said he was a deceiver. They said he was a liar. They said he was a blasphemer, because they did not believe in him, and all they tried to do was to make the truth out of a lie. The Bible says men rather darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And when your deeds are evil, how many of you know you would do some underhanded stuff to keep your stuff covered up? And the truth of the matter is, they wanted to cover up their sins, because they knew they had done the wrong thing in killing the child of God who had come to save men from their sins. And look again at the word of God. They said that they were going to say they fell asleep. No real soldier would go to sleep on the job. As a matter of fact, with a charge this great, their lives were at stake if the prisoner was released without the proper papers or the proper way. So why would four guards go to sleep? If they had any sense, two of them at least would have said, listen, we're going to take a nap. Y'all watch out for us. Not all four of them going to go to sleep at the same time. Something was wrong with this picture. But listen again. Listen again. I want you to see this. Not only that, you would have needed more than those four men, as I stated earlier, to have kept out some angry disciples who were coming to take the body of their Lord. More than that. But then look at this. If the story were so, they were asleep and the disciples stole them. Well, when you look at a big boulder that's rolled before a door, and now the clay has hardened, so you're going to have to chip this rope or cord loose. How are they going to come do that, roll the stone away, take the body, and the folk remain asleep? Now, if there's anybody in here asleep, wake them up right now, because that's the spirit of the enemy on them. Now, think about that now, because you know what's at stake here. Even if you know you doze off a little bit, you nod a little bit, you ain't going to let all that noise come and you not wake up. I mean, the story has holes all the way in it from beginning to end. But their plans changed, but God's did not. Look again at what the Bible says. Bible says in verse 13 again, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. Yeah. Now, if the governor hears this, he says, what we're going to do is we're going to do a little politicking. Because we got connections with the governor, and we're going to tell the governor, governor, don't bother them. It was really a setup, and these men were set up, blah, 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 all the rest. And he said, in essence, when the word says secure them, it meant that they would not die, because the rightful order was if an escaped prisoner got away from under a guarded watch of this nature, those who guarded him lives would be taken instead of the prisoner's life. So they're saying, we're going to protect you from the governor and from the law. Now notice again what the word says. So they took the money. So they took the money. So they, yeah. And did as they were, listen at this. Todd, do you know you can pay folk to lie for you? You give them enough money, the Bible says, large, verse 12, large, they gave large. Listen, if you give enough money, you can teach folk how to lie and to tell the story you want them to tell for you. This ain't no new thing. Buying witnesses and buying testimonies is no new reality. And you look at some folk today, I mean, you talking about, no, they couldn't buy me. No, they could never buy me. Just let the price get high enough. You know I could buy a lot with that if I... You know, I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive me, but I'm going to tell you a little lie. Y'all don't hear me? Some of y'all lie for not a whole lot of money. Some of y'all lie just to be lying. Well, I could go on about another story about that, but I'm going to be that long. Listen to what the word says. Listen to what the word says. It says, so they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Now, where I really want to get to follows in this next portion, because what you've got to see is their plans change, but God's remain the same. And here's all of the purpose of the resurrection experience. Do you know we get to shouting about he rose, and I thank God for him rising, because without him rising, the rest of this would not be a reality. But let me help you to understand why the devil don't want you to hear the rest of the story. Because just to talk about he rose and never have the fulfillment of the reason for him rising makes the story incomplete and makes the reality of his rising or resurrection unfulfilled in the hearts and lives of men. Look at what the word says. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some what? Some hesitated. Some did not believe it was really Jesus. Now look at what verse 18 says. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Now this word power here comes from the Greek word exousia, and it means all authority. Now the power of God had already been demonstrated earlier when he got up out of the grave, when the power of God resurrected him, when the power of God sent the angels down and moved the stone from the door. Now the power to get things done, that was dunamis. That was the ability to actually do something. And so that power was already demonstrated. But Jesus was saying, above the ability to get things done, I have the authority to will things done. Now here's where you come in at, and here's where the whole glory of shouting resurrection Sunday morning and knowing the power of his resurrection. First of all, you've got to understand that to have the power of his resurrection is to understand the authority of his resurrection. If I understand the authority of his resurrection and then become acquainted with that in my own heart, my own mind, my own spirit, then I not only have the dunamis power, the ability to get things done, but I then have the exousia power, which is the authority over the things that work against me. Now here's what you got to know. Even if you bind my hands, bind my feet, and I can't say or do anything in the natural to fight against you, do you know you still ain't got me beat? When they locked down Peter, when they locked down Silas, when they had all of these boys locked and put in jail cells and so forth, they had the dunamis, they had a power, the physical power over them, but they didn't have the exousia or the authority over them. When those boys called on the name of the Lord, God showed up at midnight and unlocked the locks off them, the stocks off them, and opened up the jail cells, and they didn't go nowhere because they had authority. Y'all ain't getting this because y'all still waiting on early. Listen at this. The only reason why you don't run out of the jail cells when the jail doors are opened up is because you have authority. If you didn't have no authority, they open up the jail cells, you'd be like a bird flying out of there quick as you can. But when you're standing there in the authority of God and connected with the authority of God, why do you have to run when all power is in his hand? It was proven they couldn't do no more than God would let them do. And when you have exousia, you have authority over, listen at this, everything and everybody who comes against the word of God, the will of God, and the way of God. And listen, you are undergirded by his word. Listen at this. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Well, what are we teaching them? See, this is what the enemy do not want. He does not want a preacher to stand up there and empower the people with the word of God. You see, some of you came this morning for a good celebration, but from the traditional sense. Want me to tell you a good story, sing you a sweet song, and let you leave out it. Ooh, did we have all glory. Ooh, Pastor Jeff preached us silly. Well, I am going to preach you silly. Right out of the silliness of trying to stay in tradition and understanding, when you leave out of here, you're still defeated because you ain't got no exousia, no authority over the things that are still binding you. How you gonna shout in here and then go back to your house, go back to your job, go back to your situation, and then still be bound? How you gonna shout in here when the enemy is attacking you and not stand on what God said? By his stripes, I am already
already. It's already done. How you gonna shout in here and go out there and financially be defeated because you don't give your tithes, you don't pay your offering, you don't, oh, y'all getting quiet now, but you don't walk in authority to say it is God's, he gave it, and as he's ordered me, I'm gonna replace it so he can do greater. Hey, how you gonna shout up in here and you scared by what folk gonna do you out there when you got the authority over them through the word of God? So excuse me if I don't hoop this morning. But I'm trying to help you so that when I get through, you can hoop. Listen at this. Listen. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. All nations. This is too good to leave right in Greater King David. Teach all nations. Now listen to what the word says now. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now right here when they say in the name of, it is giving here the full counsel and the full authority